You are listening to the IFH Podcast Network. For more amazing filmmaking and screenwriting podcasts, just go to ifhpodcastnetwork.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Rise of the Filmtrepreneur, How to Turn Your Independent Film into a Money-Making Business by Alex Ferrari. For a free copy of the audiobook, head over to www.filmbizbook.com.
Welcome to the Director Series Podcast, a show dedicated to deconstructing the work of some of cinema's most celebrated and influential film directors. I'm your host, Cameron Bile. Not having the latest BMW coupe or Chanel handbag is, quite literally, a matter of life and death for those who are more concerned with image over identity, or more aptly, those who think the two are one and the same. In this light, a film like Coppola's fifth feature, The Bling Ring, wherein a group of overprivileged LA teenagers steal from the homes of celebrities and socialites in an attempt to live like them, is a nightmare writ large for those hoping to raise well-adjusted kids with more modest values.
So, what qualities do you guys admire about Angelina Jolie?
Her husband.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else?
Her hot bod.
Okay, well, the hot bod is not a characteristic, but okay.
Based on Nancy Jo Sales' 2011 Vanity Fair article, The Suspect Wore Louboutins, Coppola's script slightly fictionalizes the real-life exploits of the titular Bling Ring during their short-lived reign of terror, or, considering the staggering wealth of their targets, reign of inconvenience. The story takes place in the wealthy suburban enclave of Calabasas, which has gained a reputation for cheap glamour and trashy materialism thanks to the small population of reality stars, pop divas, fame chasers, and any number of Kardashians that call its endless rows of gaudy McMansions home. It's an honest mistake for non-Angelinos to make, but it bears repeated mentioning that Calabasas is not L.A. A fact that the Bling Ring's fresh-faced kleptos are all too painfully aware of as they gaze out at the city's twinkling lights in the distance. With the exception of Emma Watson and Leslie Mann, Coppola's cast is composed primarily of unknowns, anchored by newcomers Katie Chang and Israel Broussard.
I heard you had Paris Hilton's.
Yeah.
And you took some stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, so cool. Paris Hilton.
We're gonna go get a drink, please.
Chang, who had never been in a film before and only scored the role off the strength of her self-tape, plays the crew's ringleader, Rebecca. Rebecca's love for fashion combines with a reckless amorality to create a sociopathically nonchalant teenager who effortlessly convinces the introverted new kid, Mark, played with a nuanced ambiguity by Broussard, to rob nearby homes with her.
I met Rebecca in school after I'd moved back and went to Indian Hills. I went there because I had a lot of absences. I didn't want to go to school. I had a lot of self-loathing and anxiety issues.
What begins as a way to combat their everyday suburban boredom soon grows into an all-consuming compulsion that ropes in their friends, aloof bad girl Chloe, playful Sam, and the frighteningly vapid Nikki, played by Watson in a scene-stealing performance informed by a disturbing amount of reality television.
Come on, let's go to Paris's. I want to rob.
Try as they might, adults hold little influence over the Bling Ring's self-contained world of shiny baubles and expensive trinkets. Which is not to say that their guidance would even be particularly helpful in the first place. Man's Laurie, the only prominent adult in the film, is the kind of parent that would let kids get drunk at her house after prom. A self-styled cool mom whose utter ineffectiveness as an authority figure is rooted in a devotion to the secret and its snake oil faith messaging that leaves her completely oblivious to what's going on around her.
So in The Secret, we talk about the law of attraction and how we need to be really careful about who we surround ourselves with because we wind up being the average of those people.
As the young criminals grow increasingly bolder in their exploits, they are seduced and deluded by the glitzy Hollywood lifestyle they aspire to. They may be partying in the same clubs as Paris Hilton and Coppola regular Kirsten Dunst, each making brief cameos as themselves, but they'll never truly be in those social circles. They believe they'll never have to answer for their crimes, despite conducting their raids on a fleeting whim and making no effort to disguise their identity from security cameras. This perceived invincibility proves to be their ultimate downfall, and it's only a matter of time before the authorities bust down their doors. Where Coppola's storytelling really shines is in its exploration of the fallout. Within a year, these overprivileged suburbanites are back out on the streets and free to continue living their lives as if nothing ever happened. Some, like Watson's Nikki character, even achieve a twisted semblance of the celebrity they so desperately aspire to, becoming D-list reality TV personalities in their own right. At the risk of glorifying celebrity worship culture and grand larceny, The Bling Ring doesn't take a damning view of its teenage subjects. Instead, it channels their youthful energy in a bid to show how easy it can be to fall into this behavior in the absence of truly positive role models. Coppola's films have always boasted a punchy visual aesthetic, but The Bling Ring kicks it into overdrive with a high-energy, low-contrast look that resembles a trendy Instagram filter. The Bling Ring cinematography within the context of Coppola's larger filmography is notable. Having been shot on a Red Epic camera, it marks her first feature-length effort in the digital space. But a more important distinction lies in the fact that it also marks the final film of the late cinematographer Harris Avitus, before he succumbed to brain cancer shortly after the conclusion of principal photography. Coppola dedicates The Bling Ring to him, who shares credit on the film with additional cinematographer Christopher Blauvelt. Her trademark aesthetic loses nothing in the switch to digital, ably replicating the soft lighting setups, wide compositions, and lens flares that have come to shape her signature. With its rosy highlights and gauzy shallow focus, the 185:1 digital image possesses a distinct fashion film veneer. Coppola makes a distinct visual differentiation between glitzy, colorful Hollywood and the bland beige of the San Fernando Valley's suburban sprawl. For scenes set in Calabasas, Coppola tends to lock off her camera or employ controlled dolly movements, while overexposing the image to an almost blinding degree so as to emphasize the banality of cookie-cutter suburbia.
Girls! Time for your Adderall!
Hollywood, by contrast, is rendered in deep wells of shadow and handheld footage that inject a seductive immediacy and energy. As appropriate for a film about robbing celebrity homes, The Bling Ring's visual approach places a notable emphasis on architecture, a minor yet fairly notable thematic throughline across Coppola's body of work. From Lost in Translation to Marie Antoinette and on through to Somewhere, Coppola's narratives resemble chamber dramas in their intertwining of story with setting. Put simply, the chosen stage fundamentally informs the nature of Coppola's storytelling. All three of these prior films dwell on the irony of feeling confined or constricted in a large environment, be it the endless hallways of Tokyo's Park Plaza Hotel, the stately, sprawling grounds of Versailles Palace, or the bohemian coziness of LA's Chateau Marmont. The Bling Ring's gaudy McMansions don't quite possess this same energy, but they nevertheless continue Coppola's sensitive attention to location and her amazing ability to shoot in the actual locale she's depicting. Just like they did for the Park Plaza Hotel in Versailles, Coppola and her producing team, here comprised of brother Roman and Yuri Henley, were able to actually shoot in Paris Hilton's real house, which resembles a warped miniature funhouse version of Versailles. It's unclear whether Paris's labyrinth of shoes, handbags, and throw pillows bearing her face were actually there to begin with, or if they were a product of returning production designer Anne Ross's imagination, but the infamous socialite sanctuary nevertheless represents the pinnacle of everything The Bling Ring aspires to. Another striking example of Coppola's attention to architecture with the film is the glass house scene, which places the camera high up in the Hollywood Hills, looking down on a reality TV star's ultra-modern residence, while Mark and Rebecca rob it blind. The sequence is presented entirely from the static, observational angle, with the huge plate glass windows that wrap around the house providing no cover for the small, silhouetted figures as they manically dart from room to room. It's, quite frankly, a brilliant shot, and one that almost didn't make the final cut had Savitas not convinced Coppola to keep it in. If Somewhere's pacing was languid and drawn out, then returning editor Sarah Flack's approach with The Bling Ring is the total opposite. Like a drunken night out, the film's edit speeds by in a whirl of light, color, and music. In what was no doubt a veritable nightmare for Sarah's assistant editor, Coppola's approach also includes the use of various clips and found footage from a wide spectrum of sources. Cable news, ripped YouTube videos, Facebook screen grabs, cell phone photos, and reality TV outtakes. For what amounts to a digital mishmash of resolutions, codecs, and frame rates, Flack and Coppola are able to place it all in a cohesive and thematically unified manner that reflects the hyper-connected lifestyles of the characters. An original score was composed by Brian Reitzel and Daniel Lopatin, who records under his stage name Oniotrix Point Never, but the film's true musical character stems from Coppola's own eclectic ear. This takes shape as a suite of pop and rap tracks from artists both established and underground. Indie outfit Sleigh Bells' crashing disruptive track Crown on the Ground opens the film, lending a high-energy youthfulness with a dash of garage punk over close-up shots of designer heels and jewelry. Hit singles from M.I.A. and Kanye West seem almost incongruous with Coppola's established musical tastes, but they hit the nail on the head in her efforts to realistically portray what her characters would be listening to. MJG, bitch, I got 8 balls. 9 pieces. Most teenagers' musical palettes don't evolve beyond what's on the radio, but the use of rap in particular brilliantly reflects that peculiar tendency of privileged suburban white kids to listen to quote-unquote urban artists in a bid to feel edgy or cool. In this regard, a character's repetition of the lyrics Live Fast, Die Young, Bad Girls Do It Well from MIA single Bad Girls zeroes in on the allure of this lifestyle while simultaneously demonstrating their youthful ignorance and naivete to its consequences.
I'm a firm believer in karma, and I think this situation was attracted into my life as a huge learning lesson for me to grow and expand as a spiritual human being.
The Bling Ring is Coppola's fourth consecutive film to grapple with the idea of fame, this time approaching it from the angle of someone on the outside looking in, or someone with misconceived aspirations to the lifestyle. In a way, the film serves as the logical endpoint for Coppola's exploration of this particular milieu. The hallmarks of SoCal celebrity life, luxury goods, velour tracksuits, BMWs, sunglasses, swimming pools, and palm trees are present at almost every turn, beckoning the characters, and us, with a seductive pull. The plot device of breaking into celebrity mansions also provides Coppola an opportunity to show that these people live on an entirely different plane of existence than us. They leave their expensive material goods in gigantic homes and fancy cars that are left entirely unlocked, secure in their ill-advised conviction that their homes will not be transgressed by anybody with their own set of wheels and an internet connection. The crime-free ideals of suburbia lead to this sort of blind privilege trust, and when these ideals are inevitably violated, it's admittedly hard to garner much sympathy for them. This notion that, somehow, maybe these celebrities deserved it, is crucial to the likability of Coppola's narcissistic Robin Hoodies, who steal from the rich only to give to themselves. Despite the stylistic departure from Coppola's previous work, The Bling Ring's thematic conceits continue to follow the trajectory of her development as a filmmaker. The film's high-stakes high school setting and focus on the vapidity of SoCal youth culture echoes the setup of her debut short Lick the Star. Key technical signatures remain present, most notably the backseat traveling shot. An outward-looking shot detailing the cookie-cutter McMansion strung along the suburban block recalls a similar shot in The Virgin Suicides, while its variation, the inward-looking shot that dwells on a character often caught in a moment of deep self-reflection, gets a fun twist by placing it within the context of a bus heading to prison. All in all, The Bling Ring marks Coppola's pivot towards a mainstream audience after a series of art house chamber dramas, yet she can't shed her indie sensibilities entirely, resulting in a film where conventional story beats are handled in oblique and inspired ways. After the film's premiere in the Uncertain Regard program at Cannes, upstart specialty distributor A24 snapped it up and gave it a well-strategized rollout that would result in Coppola's best box office opening in nearly a decade. Eventually earning $90 million in receipts against an $8 million budget, The Bling Ring restored some of Coppola's lost luster after the disappointing performance of Marie Antoinette and Somewhere. While her work has been, and continues to be, sharply divisive by its nature, The Bling Ring managed to score generally positive reviews from critics, which combined with its respectable ticket haul makes it a bona fide success from any angle. It may end up as a relatively minor work in her filmography, but it nonetheless marks an important transition in Coppola's artistic development, whereby she retreats from a self-indulgent style of filmmaking to meet her audience halfway, and is in turn rewarded with a renewed relevance to a new, very different cultural zeitgeist. Thank you for listening to the Director Series. For a deeper dive into your favorite filmmakers, go to www.directorseries.net. The Director Series is made possible in large part by our generous supporters on Patreon. Please visit us at patreon.com/directorseries to see how your contribution enables the continued production of video essays and text articles on your favorite contemporary and classic film directors. Thank you,